God is good, isn't he? All the time. It's a beautiful Thanksgiving day. Coldest one on record that I know of. And therefore, you're among the bravest saints in Baltimore City coming out to a Thanksgiving service with the temperatures in the 20s. Amen. We definitely know you love Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And we thank God for you. And we continue to pray, not only for you, but all the members. Some may not have been able to come for whatever the reason may be, but we're here by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. To lift up and exalt a risen Savior. He's a good God, isn't he? And good all the time. And thank God for all the testimonies that have gone up. And we all have a testimony. Isn't that true? If you're a human being, you have a testimony. If you're a Christian, you have a testimony in the Lord. You can have a good testimony and a bad testimony. A bad testimony is talking about the things that are happening to you, but you have no resources in Christ Jesus to assist you or to have assisted you with those problems. Amen? That's a bad testimony because there's no help in time or eternity. But if you are a Christian, oh, you have a testimony that you've gone through some things, but the Lord has seen you through those things and will continue to see you through. Can you say amen? Amen. So that's a good testimony. That's a testimony in Christ. And I thank God that those who are sitting on the sound of my voice, you have that type of testimony. Many words have been given concerning illnesses and problems, family issues, and whatever the case may be. And so we all have a testimony. But the most important testimony that we should have is that we place our faith in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. That's the best testimony a person who's come crying into planet Earth can have, and we are thankful for that. And thank Brother Beard for being our service leader. Amen. Getting here early, making sure everything is right, braving the elements as others. But there's a value placed on faithfulness. Isn't that true? And so we thank God for his faithful service. You know, every day we should wake up and we should be thankful. Isn't that true? For another day to praise God for all he's done for us and all that he continues to do for us, and all he will do for us in the future, in time and throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Can you say amen? And so we're going to look at God's word today. It won't be long. And pray to God will speak to our hearts on this beautiful Thanksgiving day, that we might leave lifted up in the spirits, that we might leave this place more empowered to serve the true and living God with a spirit of thankfulness. Amen? Amen. So the title of our message today is Thank God Every Day. Thank God every day. Our thanks should go up before the Lord every day, before we even start. Isn't that true? Sometimes we may get in a hurry or a rush, and sometimes we forget. Sometimes I catch myself, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't pray or I didn't thank you this morning for waking me up to see another morning. Because sometimes we get busy, isn't that true? But it's never come too busy for the Lord and too busy to thank the Lord. And so we thank God, not just some days, but every day. Isn't that true? For waking us up to see another day. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank for all blessings, great and small. We thank for those who have come out on this Thanksgiving day, brisk, cold day, Father, that you have provided for us. And Father, the record says one of the coldest Novembers we've ever seen, maybe the coldest Thanksgiving we've ever seen. But Father, you know all about the elements. And so, Father, we put all these things in your capable hands. And so, Father, we are thankful for those who are here to praise you, to lift up and exalt your holy name. We are thankful for the word, Father, that will come forth, that we may be once again lifted up in the most precious faith. And, Father, that you might, as always, as we look into your word, take the earthen vessel of clay that stands before thy people, meet him in the weakness and frailness of human flesh once again, that by the preaching of your word, we may again in a clear and fresh way see Jesus. Bless our time. We'll be careful to ascribe the praise to you. You're worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank God every day. Not just some days, every day. You know, some people never thank God. As a matter of fact, most of the people in the world don't thank God. There are people in the world who are thinking in their own minds and their hearts that they're thanking God. But if they don't know Jesus as their God, the God that they're thinking, amen, is not God. Can you say amen? Only those who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior are offering true thanks to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we thank Him every day. We would be remiss if we failed to do so. So we're going to look at 3 points very quickly and move through for the time that we have. And each point will start with thank God for and dot, dot, dot. This will be what you might call a continuation from our message on Sunday. And as we continue to look at the thanks that we give to the Lord. So we give thanks to the Lord every day. So thank God for, number one, His peace. We thank God for His peace. That's most important. Isn't that true? I heard as testimonies went forth that you were thankful for the peace that God gives you and has given you in the midst of difficult situations. And God is able. Amen. Secondly, point two, thank God for His strength. We thank God for His strength. Isn't that true? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. Because when we're weak, we're strong, but only strong in Christ. And then thirdly, we'll close out. Thank God for His love. Point three. Thank God for His love. Amen. Let's look through very quickly and pray to God with us. Speak to our hearts and bless us on this beautiful Thanksgiving Day. We thank God for His peace. We are thankful for the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. Not the peace of man, but the peace of God. It is internal and eternal. Isn't that true? Peace begins within, and we'll have peace forever as we go into the presence of the Lord when He calls us home to be with Him. Amen. So that's peace for time through faith in Jesus Christ and peace forever in heaven with all those who believe on Christ. Turn very quickly to John chapter 14, 26 and 27. Very familiar passage of scripture. John chapter 14. New Testament. Fourth gospel. Gospel of John. Verse 26 and 27. Are we there? Amen. It says, but the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. That's a good name for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He's the one who comforts us. As I stated, when testimonies went forth, we realized that in our own personal testimonies, that our peace only comes through the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say amen? So the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, referred to in the Bible as the Comforter in Holy Writ. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Ah, look at verse 27. Very familiar, very powerful passage. Peace. Internal peace. Remember, we talk about internal peace. Oftentimes, we don't have external peace. You know what that means? I often talk about that. Peace where? On the outside. Peaceful circumstances. Peaceful situations. Seems like God allows a lot of chaotic things to happen. Illnesses, sicknesses. We've had a lot of issues taking place with the church this year. And we say, well, where is the peace? What's going on in this particular situation or that situation or in my own personal situation? But God is always there, and He allows what? What He wills. And He knows the outcome before He allows the situation. But we don't. And so that's why we have to trust Him. And so you need internal peace to trust God in the midst of external situations that don't lend themselves to peace. Can you say amen? They don't feel peaceful, do they? Amen. Praise God. And so that's why you need that peace on the inside. It only comes from the Holy Spirit. Trusting God that whatever He's allowed is according to His good and perfect will. And to realize that all things work for our good because we what? Have been called according to His purpose, according to Romans chapter 8:28. Amen. And so it says, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not what? As the world giveth. The world doesn't give me peace. Oftentimes, the world provide a lot of trouble and trials for you and tribulations. Amen. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it, what? Be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Sometimes we get apprehensions about certain things, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to calm our hearts and our minds, and then we're able to regain composure, not in ourselves, but in the power of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, His peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Moving right over. Acts and Romans. Two verses here. Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, very familiar. Are we there? Amen. It says, therefore, being justified, that means made right with God, by what? Faith. Once you've been made right with God, all the problems that you have in your own spirit and your own heart are just temporary, for time only. You see, if you don't know Jesus, your problems aren't just for time, but for what? All eternity. Because you'll spend eternity separated from him forever. Sometimes we forget that in the midst of troubles, present company included. We forget when we're going through something that this is just for a moment. Like a breath of air on a cold day like today that appears for a moment and then what? It disappears into the atmosphere. So are our troubles and our trials in time and may disrupt our peace for a moment, but we regain our composure by the power of the Holy Spirit and realize that trouble won't last always. Can you say amen? Even if they last throughout all time, they won't last for all eternity. One day we're going to the presence of the Lord. So therefore, we're justified by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's internal spiritual peace. Even in the midst of external chaotic situations. Amen? And so we thank God for Jesus. Verse 2. By whom we have, what? Access. Amen. Praise God. Access by faith into his grace, this grace. We've been introduced to grace, the grace of God. Isn't that true? Wherein what? We stand. After having done all what? We stand. It says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, one day we'll go into the presence of God and we'll be glorified and time will be no more and troubles will be no more. I know you say, amen, praise God. But at the appropriate time. Isn't that true? But right now on planet Earth, man comes into this bubble called times and the sparks fly up. Well, isn't that true? It's a troublesome existence here and it seems to be increasing in trouble with each passing year. But by the grace of God, we found a measure of peace on the inside through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, our second point. His strength. His strength. We thank God for his strength. The Lord is able to strengthen his people and to encourage them in the midst of the trials and troubles of this life. Anybody have troubles? No, I'm talking the wrong group. Maybe I have the wrong group here. You don't have any problems. You say, Pastor, I have a lot of problems on a regular basis. And I like for them to go away. And sometimes I pray, Lord, we take the problems away. He sends some more problems. I said, well, God allows problems to put you in a position to trust him more. You say, Lord, have mercy. I should be really trusting the Lord by now. Can you say amen? Praise God. You say, after all these years of trials and troubles, my faith should be like Mount Everest. Can you say amen? Well, God knows. And so his strength is made perfect in our weakness because he's an all-sufficient Savior who is able to sustain us and keep us no matter what's going on. And so we thank God for his what? Abiding peace. That means it's ever-present. Never leaves us. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 18. We're moving right over, systematically through. Move over a couple of books. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at 15 to 18. Are we there? Amen. Praise God. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Do you know that the way we live our lives, our testimony is able to bring the lost to Christ and our families? We could pass off the scene. They may never come to know Christ while we're alive. But our testimony will live on. Isn't that true? And at some point, someone else will water that seed and ultimately God will give the increase and a loved one could be saved. Isn't that true? And so we continue, despite our troubles, to present Christ because that's where the thanksgiving abounds. Isn't that true? Amen. The fact that we don't, in the midst of our troubles, become disheartened over the God we say is able to take care of us. You see? And so therefore, that's a good blessing. And that's a blessing for others. And we will reap in due season if we faint not. Isn't that true? And we will reap in eternity. And that's what Paul is basically saying concerning his life. It's not so much his persecution that he was experiencing, all the things that happened to him, the imprisonments and all of that, the beatings, the whippings, the shipwrecks. But what Apostle Paul is concerned with is that people will come to know Christ, even if it means he has to experience suffering in the process. Can you say amen? So you never know how your suffering is winning souls of Christ. Amen? So be a good soldier of the cross. Amen? Verse 16, for which cause we what? Faint not. You ever want to faint when one thing happens and something else happens? Then before you finish that, two other things happen? Amen. You ever seen those acts in the circus where they're juggling the plates? And you know, I often wonder how they do that. They're juggling the plates right here and they're juggling balls in the other hand. Sometimes we feel like that. Isn't that true? And we say, oh, how much more, Lord? Please don't give me anything else. I don't have these two hands. Amen. But God is able to sustain us despite the troubles that come our way. God oftentimes allows things to happen to build us up in the faith. Can you say amen? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man what? Perish. I don't know if you know that or not, but you're perishing. I look at my health. I have health issues, and I don't talk about them a lot, as well as you keep things before the Lord oftentimes, and except maybe at a time of testimony. I've heard some things maybe in terms of testimony that maybe I haven't heard. But we are perishing. From the time we come crying into the world, I don't care how young you are, you're still perishing. A baby comes in perishing. From the time you come crying into the world, isn't that true? And so we didn't come here to stay, so what we need to do is prepare for the place that we're going to go since we didn't come here to stay. We're going to heaven or hell based on what we'll do with Jesus Christ in time. So behoove us to deal with our eternal destiny and not become so focused on this called small bubble called time. Amen? And we've done that as we placed our faith in Jesus. So like Sister Tina says, I'm ready, Lord. And Brother B says, I'm ready anytime, seen enough. Why? Because we have invested in the eternal realm, and our love for this bubble called time is growing dimmer by the day. Isn't that true? With the things we see transpiring around us in the world. And so it says, for our light affliction, I just want to make another point. Our inward man is being renewed day by day. That's a good point. I want to close out on that last verse before we move on. Inside, we're being refreshing. Isn't that true? Refreshed every day. Oh, look at verse 17. For our light affliction. Paul says affliction with light. Do your afflictions sometimes seem heavy? Yes. Do you think the Apostle Paul's afflictions were heavy? Yes. Why is he saying light? Light, comparatively speaking. Isn't that true? Comparatively speaking, in terms of looking at what Jesus went through. Aren't our afflictions light compared to his? And so light afflictions. And they say that for what? A moment. We'll say, ooh, no. Lord, that lasts a long time. But comparatively speaking, time is what? Like but a moment. They're here for a moment and then gone. And so our light afflictions, but for a moment, are working for us a far more what? Exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We will come into the presence of the Lord one day. And look what it says right here in verse 18. Ah, look at this powerful. For we look not at the things which are what? Seen. We look at the news and we see the deterioration of society, and it could be discouraging to you if you get caught up in it. And so you have to see God's hand in the midst of everything that transpires around you, the good and the bad. Isn't that true? And so God's working these things out, even though they don't look good to us, according to the counsel of his own will. And so our confidence is in him, not what we see with our eyes. It says, so while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, oh, we have an eternal hope. We can't see our Jesus, but we know he's real because he lives in our heart. Can you say amen? Amen. It says, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal, time things. Time is a bubble that you come in for a moment. And soon and very soon you're gone. We've seen many loved ones going into eternity, and we're just trailing right behind them. Isn't that true? And so these are the temporal things of life. And we place our faith in eternal things of Christ. But the things which are not seen, what? Are eternal. You can't see Jesus. You've never seen Jesus. You haven't seen heaven. You haven't seen any things in the point future that the Bible speaks of. But they're as real as if we are there, because the Bible speaks of them as true. And this word of God is true. Amen? So we take hope and we thank God on this Thanksgiving for his strength. Isn't that true? God strengthens his people and encourages them in the midst of trials and troubles. Amen. His strength is made perfect in what? Our weakness. He is an all-sufficient Savior who is able to sustain us and keep us. And so we thank God for his abiding presence. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at our last point. We're done. Oh, we're coming in a stretch now. Oh, boy. This is good. Thank God. Lastly, number three, what? His love. Oh, we could spend hours and months and years and would never exhaust the inexhaustible love of God, because it was manifested in the eternal Savior on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is God. Our salvation is free for us, but it's not cheap. It cost Christ his life. God had to die. You often hear me say this. It's powerful. God gave this to me years ago, and it just pops into my mind every day. God had to die so we could live. Oh, that's awesome that a God would love us that much. Isn't that true? So, the love of God. It's marvelous, isn't it? And wonderful. His great love has purchased us out of darkness and placed us into his marvelous light. Isn't that true? We once walked in darkness, and now we're in the marvelous light. So we're now sons and daughters, what, of the living God. By the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have escaped the condemnation of hell. You know, if we didn't have any benefits in time, or really any benefits in eternity, which we have, we'll have benefits, we'll be glorified and live in the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. Just to escape hell and go to heaven would be enough. Isn't that true? Amen. Praise God. What a gift. And so we should be thankful for that on this Thanksgiving Day and every day that will follow. Can you say amen? Amen. And so we've escaped the condemnation of hell, and now we're headed for glory. We're headed for heaven. And so for that, we say thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And one verse, and then we're going to look at one other passage very quickly, and we'll close out. I think we have enough time. Speaks of the love of God that many people can quote but don't really understand the true meaning of it. That verse is John what? And what is it? For God what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You see how that just rolls off our tongue, because that is the ultimate verse that describes the love of God. Can you say amen? We love God because he what? He first loved us. Isn't that true? And we got one other verse, and we'll close out on this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we'll close out. This is a good verse too. I like this one. Romans 5 and verse 8. We're going to read this together as soon as we all get there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Oh, this ranks high with John 3:16. Are we there? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's read it together. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we became good. Why is that? We could never what? We could never become good. Because we were born in sin and predestined to remain in our sins forever without the precious blood of Jesus. No one can ever become good without Jesus. No one can ever become righteous without Jesus. And so we're thankful for that on Thanksgiving Day. Isn't that true? That while we were sinners in our dirty, rotten sins, God had us on his mind. Isn't that true? When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Can you say amen? And so in conclusion, we have seen in God's word that we're thankful for God's abiding peace. We are thankful for his strength to endure, and we are thankful for his sacrificial love manifested by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We're thankful for God for all things that we receive, great and small, but most important on this beautiful Thanksgiving Day, we thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you our praise and honor and glory. We thank you for all blessings, great and small. And Father, we realize that we're in the midst of difficult times. Our world is spiraling out of control, but not out of your control. And so, Father, we realize that you love us. And so we are thankful, Father, for the great love that you demonstrated for us on the cross of Calvary. We're thankful for your peace that you've given us. Father, we're thankful for the great measure of strength that you give us on a regular basis. And Father, we're thankful for all these things that you provide for us, health and strength and all these things. And so, Father, we would be remiss if we failed to come to you every day and thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the health of our family. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health that we have. And Father, as we prepare to partake of our Thanksgiving dinner, we're praying that, Father, we would invoke the divine presence and power of the Holy Spirit, that you might be in our midst, and that for the loved ones who know not Christ, who are sitting around the table, that something that we might say or something that might be done, that they might come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our sincere prayer, Father, that we want to thank you in advance for the salvation of our lost loved ones, and we'll give you the praise in advance for what you do on this Thanksgiving Day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We can all stand for dismissal, but I'm sure that appears to me that everyone here knows the Lord. I always give an invitation. If my wife say I give an invitation, amen, praise God. I know she loves the Lord. But an invitation is given because, as you know, the messages go out on the website, and someone may hear something that's said or done, and it may cause them to bow the knees of their hearts to Jesus on this Thanksgiving Day, amen. And so we're praying in that regard. So if there's anyone here, questions or problems or concerns about their salvation, it doesn't appear to be, you can ask Christ to come into your heart. If you listen by way of the airways, the website, or whatever the case may be, on this Thanksgiving Day, you have come to the place where we realize you don't know Jesus. All you have to do is very simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart and save me from my sins? I'm a sinner, and according to your word, I was born that way, and there's no help for me apart from you. And so, Jesus, would you come into my heart and save me? You ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart in a moment of time. He'll save you, and you'll never forget it on a Thanksgiving Day. Amen. Praise God. Or whatever the day that you may hear this message go forth, that you'll rejoice in your newfound Christian faith. But if you are not here, sitting under the sound of my voice, and you come to know Christ, sincere prayer is that you will come and rejoice, that we might rejoice with you in your newfound Christian faith. These things we pray.